Well, one of the Krishna book stories that we spoke about during an earlier visit was the Kaliya Damana Leela. Who was Kaliya? Kaliya. One of Krishna's names is Kaliya Krishna. And who is Kaliya?
A snake?
Can you describe that snake?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
He was a person in the ocean who killed a lot of animals. I mean, a lot of people and animals.
Yeah.
And
what was some of the characteristics of this Kaliya? Okay. Which children do know? Go ahead.
He had a lot of heads.
He had a lot of heads. He was a very special serpent.
I thought that.
Many headed. Would you like to see a picture of him?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But I don't have the computer here. So let me go show you a picture of Kaliya. Because this pastime takes place after Krishna subdues Kaliya. It's the same day, only it's at night. So let me go to Kaliya.
It's the same 24-hour period.
Well, Krishna, he's time himself, so he can do whatever he likes. There's Kaliya.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. That's the many-hooded serpent that, let's see. When Krishna went to the side of the river Jamuna, he found all the calves and the cowherd boys as if dead. So he glanced upon them, they came back to life. And there's the Kaliya serpent. Garuda had a little argument with Kaliya, as you see. Who is Garuda?
Hands up.
Who's Garuda? Go ahead. Who is Garuda? Yeah. Okay. That was pretty good. What else can you say about Garuda besides he's the bird up there? Yeah.
He is Krishna's helper.
Yeah. What? In what way does he help Krishna?
If he's in trouble, he needs somebody to help him.
That's true.
What else do we know about Garuda?
Maybe to fly on.
He does what?
Maybe to fly on.
That's right. Exactly.
Wait, Krishna plays on him.
Yeah. He's the carrier of Lord Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu travels from one place to another place, he sometimes rides on the back of Garuda. So here, Garuda is having a little disagreement with Kaliya. Because one time, that fellow there, that Sobari Muni, he was at the bottom of a lake within the river Jamuna, and Garuda came to capture some fish, because Garuda eats fish and also snakes sometimes. So when Sobari Muni saw that Garuda had eaten some fish, he cursed Garuda that you ever come back to this lake where I'm doing my meditation and you come to eat fish, then at once you will die. So Garuda knew that he shouldn't go there, and that's where Kaliya went to hide. So Krishna jumped into the lake after reviving his cowherd boyfriends and all the cows, and he made a big splash, so much so that all the water from that lake overflowed onto the side of the river Jamuna. And when Krishna entered and made such a big splash, then this Kaliya down here, he became very angry. Who has come into my lake? And he raised his many hoods. He was such a venomous serpent that the poison coming from his mouth came out as flames.
Krishna?
No, the serpent.
Oh.
This guy over here. And Kaliya, when he saw Krishna, he was so angry, he tried to strike the chest of Krishna, tried to bite him with his poison to try to kill him. But Krishna was very dexterous, he just jumped out of the way. And then the Kaliya serpent grabbed him within his coils and held him very tightly, wrapped in the coils of Kaliya. Krishna was having a nice time. But the people on the side of the Jamuna Lake, they were very anxious for the welfare of Krishna. They went and got Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda and Balaram. Balaram knew what was going on all the time. Krishna's just having some fun. But Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj, they were in big anxiety, because here's Kaliya wrapping Krishna in his coils. So they were calling out, "Krishna, what can we do to help you?" They started fainting on the side of the river Jamuna. So after some time, Krishna saw all the anxiety of the residents of Vrindavan. Mother Jasoda, she wanted to jump into the Jamuna Lake, although it was terribly poisonous, just to save her darling son. And everyone held her back. Balaram himself had to hold Nanda Maharaj back, because Krishna was their life and soul. I'm going quickly here, because this is just a recap of what you missed. So after some time, Krishna understood the residents of Vrindavan are in too much anxiety. And so he decided, enough of this. I'll relieve them of their anxiety. So what did Krishna do? He started expanding his body, because Krishna can do that. He made his body bigger and bigger and so big, and Kaliya was stretching and stretching, and then all of a sudden Krishna became very small again and jumped out of the grip of Kaliya's coils. And when Krishna jumped out of the grip of Kaliya's coils, he started swimming around. And swimming and swimming and swimming and swimming so fast, Kaliya was just to watch Krishna swimming so fast, he started getting dizzy and... ooh. And then, after Kaliya was fatigued and dizzy, Krishna jumped up and, standing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent, he began to dance. And Krishna's the best of dancers. Any dancer that knows how to dance can't dance like Krishna. So, in fact, as this says, Krishna is the original master of all fine arts. So when he began to dance, the residents of the heavenly planets, they came to see. And they were playing drums, mridangas, panavas and anakas, and they were singing praises of Krishna's wonderful dance. And as Krishna was dancing, because he's as heavy as anything, the hoods of the Kaliya serpent were getting smashed. But he was so envious that as he would raise his hoods, you see there's this luminous jewel on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent, each one of the hoods. Mm-hmm. And what's the color of the bottom of Krishna's feet?
White.
No? Pinkish. Reddish. So it was very nice. The bottom of Krishna's feet are red, and the jewels on top of the hoods of the Kaliya serpent was like a dance floor with red lights. It showed up very, very beautiful. Krishna was dancing so happily, holding the tail with one hand and dancing on all the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. And all the residents of Vrindavan are watching Krishna's dance. Wow, look at Krishna dance. He's the best. But they were also very fearful because Kaliya had so many hoods. And inside those hoods are very sharp, poisonous teeth. And they knew that Kaliya was so envious of Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. But Krishna didn't have any anxiety. He just danced and danced and danced. And as he danced, the poison of the Kaliya serpent started to leave his body. And as the poison left, then finally blood was coming from his mouths. And all of his nasty, envious, poisonous condition became completely changed. Krishna's dancing to the music of the demigods, and they were offering flowers and offering beautiful prayers. Finally, Krishna subdued the Kaliya serpent, but he was too smashed to say anything. Here are some nice paintings of this wonderful Leela. And here it shows he would sometimes raise a hood and try to strike Krishna. And what did Krishna do? Finished. So finally he bowed his head in submission to Krishna, totally defeated. And because Kaliya had many wives, the wives of the Kaliya serpent, after Kaliya had been subdued by Krishna, they came forward with folded palms because they were devotees. Their husband was something else, but they were devotees. And they offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. And those prayers are found, I'm not going to read them because we did this before. They were very smart. They brought their little children before Krishna. When Krishna saw the little baby Kaliya's children, he became very mild and pacified. So here are some of the prayers up top offered by the wives of the Kaliya serpent. Basically, their prayer is to say, how merciful is Krishna? Because even the goddess of fortune, who is massaging the feet of Krishna, has never had Krishna place his feet upon her head. Even that which is aspired for by the goddess of fortune and never achieved is now being achieved by our husband. How merciful is Krishna? And by touching his feet upon Kaliya's head, as explained here, everything that is wicked within him was completely gone. He's free from all material contamination. So, etc. Beautiful paintings, beautiful prayers. And after Krishna heard all the prayers of the wives of the Kaliya serpent, oh, there's a nice painting. Here's the wives. Here's the cows. Whoa, look at them upside down. And the cowherd boys, as if dead in separation from Krishna. There's Krishna's, this is the Kadamba tree that Krishna jumped at the Kaliya serpent. There's his flower crown and his nice garland and his chadar. So after they offered their prayers to Krishna. A lot of prayers, huh? Beautiful paintings. The very famous Leela, so many artists have depicted this. And of course, in different traditions. And now you know who Kaliya is for sure.
Whatever.
Okay. And Krishna then showed his mercy and released the Kaliya serpent, who by now was completely unconscious from the stamping of Krishna's feet on his head. Slowly Kaliya regained his composure and his normal functions, and he also offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. Krishna accepted those prayers and then instructed Kaliya to leave that lake, leave Vrindavan, leave the river Jamuna, go back to the Ramanaka island where he came from, take all of his family members, and no longer pollute the river Jamuna. And he told him, don't worry, Garuda won't come and bother you, because when he sees the mark of my footprints on your hoods, he won't harm you in any way. He'll understand you've become now a purified bhakta. So the wives and Kaliya, they offered various presentations. Here it's described, fine garments, jewels, other valuable ornaments, wonderful scents, ointments, and a large garland. This didn't quite make it to Krishna's feet, but that's... They gave him a nice garland, and off they went, back to where they had come from before they came to Vrindavan. And that was the end of the Kaliya Leela. Krishna came out of the river Jamuna. One of our acharyas described, here's a little detail, that as Krishna was climbing out of the river Jamuna, there were some other friends of Kaliya, and they wanted Krishna's mercy too. They wanted Krishna to touch their hoods with his feet. So Krishna placed his feet on their hoods to offer his benediction to them also. And when he came out of the river Jamuna, Mother Jasoda embraced him, Nanda Maharaj embraced him, and smelled Krishna's head, and Balaram was so happy, and all the cowherd boys, yay, Krishna, you're so wonderful. And all the residents of Vrindavan were again happy. But as you see, the sun is getting ready to set, because where the Kaliya Lake, or Kaliya Ghat, those of you that have been to Vrindavan know where Kaliya Ghat is. It's very far from Nandagram. So it was actually Mother Jasoda that proposed, let's just spend the night here. It's very peaceful. It's too far to go all the way back to our home. So we'll just, the River Jamuna is a natural place of shelter for all of us. Let us just take rest here, in a very peaceful place, here by the side of the river Jamuna. And so, this is Kaliya Ghat in Vrindavan. This is the Kadamba tree from which Krishna jumped. This is where the Jamuna used to flow. Right now it's just a walkway, but the course of the Jamuna has shifted. And many pilgrims come and offer their obeisances to Kaliya Krishna. Okay. So we'll go to the end. Actually, we'll go to the next slide.
But what about the picture of Jesus dying on the cross?
What does that have to do with this story?
I don't know.
That's what your question is?
Yeah.
It has to do with people who are not those who are envious of someone who is pure. In Krishna's case, he is the supreme pure. But Kaliya was very envious, and Kaliya was ready to harm Krishna, strike Krishna, kill Krishna. And those who are elevated and saintly, like Krishna and Jesus, they didn't protest, but they were wishing well for their aggressor. So that evening, there were two forest fires that are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, and we're going to discuss both of them.
Yay!
Do you have a question?
Is he a friend of Kamsa?
No. But the forest fire was sent by, one of our acharyas says, was started by or arranged by one of Kaliya's buddies. No, he's not a friend of Kamsa. Here they are, taking rest at night. They felt very weak because there was such anxiety with Krishna being in the grip of the Kaliya serpent for so long. They hadn't eaten, they hadn't anything to drink, they're very tired, and so they took rest near the bank of the river Jamuna. Another name of the river Jamuna is the Kalindi. So there's Nanda Maharaj, and there's Mother Jasoda, there's Krishna, there's Balaram. Cowherd boys are watching, and as the night went on, because this was in the summer season, it's not quite like in St. Louis and Vrindavan. It's really hot. It's like walking around in an oven. And things got really dry. And when the forest nearby the river Jamuna was so dry, there was a forest fire. A great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest. The fire surrounded the inhabitants of Braja on all sides and began to scorch them. So they woke up, and they were in great fear. All around them, in all directions, were this big, raging, blazing forest threatening to destroy them all. So what did they do? Krishna! Krishna, please help. Here's their words to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, O Lord of all opulence, O Rama. Who's Rama? Balaram.
Yeah.
Balaram. O Rama, possessor of unlimited power, this most terrible fire is about to devour us, your devotees. Oh Lord, we are your true friends and devotees. Please protect us from this insurmountable fire of death. We can never give up your lotus feet, which drives away all fear. The child is very enthusiastic. Can something be done? They said to Krishna, if this deadly fire overcomes us, we will be separated from your lotus feet. And this is unbearable. They were not thinking if we burn, we're burned, we're finished. They were thinking if we die in this fire, we won't see you. And if we can't see you, that would be unthinkable. Therefore, just so that we can go on serving your lotus feet, please protect us. This is how the residents of Vrindavan think. When Krishna saw that the devotees were in such anxiety, Krishna decided he would take care of the forest fire by swallowing it. You ever seen anybody swallow fire?
No.
What to speak of a forest fire? But they're not Krishna either. So what did Krishna do?
Swallow the fire.
Yeah, but before he did that, Krishna said, okay, everybody, close your eyes, and I'll take care of the fire. Now, why did Krishna, our acharyas, answered this question. Maybe our kids can answer the question better than our acharyas. But why did Krishna ask his cowherd boyfriends to close their eyes?
So they don't get dust in their eyes.
No. Back there? What's the answer? They would be afraid for the safety of Krishna. Right, exactly. Very good. Did you read Krishna book?
No.
No, you just figured it out, huh? Okay. Very good. So, Krishna knew if the cowherd boys saw Krishna swallowing the fire, they would think, oh no! Krishna's in danger, and they would be unable to sustain their life. So Krishna said, close your eyes. And you'd be ready for a big surprise. So, the cowherd boys were thinking, Krishna knows everything. He knows how to take care of counteracting fire and counteracting poison. He knows gemology and mantras and everything.
What's gemology?
Gemology is how you cure diseases with gems. You know what gems are?
No.
Yes. Jewels. Jewels or gems.
By using the...
Yeah, some people know how to do that. And they knew that Krishna knew how to do that. So, Krishna doesn't want to show us his trade secrets. Like a magician, you know, they pull a rabbit out of the hat. They don't want to show how you pull the rabbit out of the hat. So close your eyes.
They put a rabbit in their hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Krishna knew... Hang on, guys. Hang on. Krishna knew things that even better than pulling rabbits out of hats.
He's magic.
So they, yeah. One of the names of Krishna is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means the master of all mystic yoga. Krishna is the master of all mystic yoga. And they're thinking, Krishna knows how to do this, but he doesn't want to give away his trade secrets. So we should close our eyes so privately Krishna can take care of his fire. And they also knew, Krishna knew, that if his parents found out that Krishna drank the fire, they would be too much disturbed. So close your eyes, and I'll take care of the fire. And with one inhale, the fire was gone. Because you know what else Krishna inhales sometimes? He inhales the entire cosmic manifestation. You know what that means?
No.
That's everything that exists in material creation. Because where does everything that exists come from?
Krishna.
Krishna.
God?
Yeah, that's God. So everything comes from Krishna. Hang on. Everything comes from Krishna. So if Krishna wants, he can withdraw everything back within his body. So if he can withdraw the entire creation within his body, he can withdraw a little fire, a little forest fire. So Krishna just inhaled, selectively taking that forest fire. One of our acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, said, Krishna is so expert that the fire not only became cool, but the fire became liquid and tasted like nectar.
What's nectar?
Nectar is something very nice.
It's sap from plants and trees.
Nectar is something very nice. It tasted very nice.
Especially when it's pure natural.
Because Krishna can change. He's the controller of all his energies, so he can change something that's hard into something that's soft, or something that's fire into something that's liquid. Krishna can change any part, one part of his creation into any other part of his creation at his will. He doesn't have to ask anybody's permission for it either. He's fully independent. So as this withdrawing of the forest fire took place, all the cowherd boys, they had heard about, you know who Garga Muni is?
No.
Garga Muni was the priest that took care of the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. Nanda Maharaj arranged for Garga Muni to give Krishna's name. When a child is born, a priest will do that service sometimes. He'll make the horoscope of the child to understand the future of the child, and he'll give a name based upon the qualities of the child. So Garga Muni said at the time of Krishna's Namkarana ceremony that Anena Sarva Durgani Yuyam Anjas Tarishyataha. That is, by Krishna's power, you'll easily be able to overcome all obstacles. So they understood. Garga Muni was right. Krishna has some special ability. He's so amazing. So Krishna took care of the fire, and then they were very relieved.
Don't they show the nectar part? Or does it happen in his mouth?
It happens in his mouth. Because Krishna's... He's the Yogeshwara, right? What does Yogeshwara mean? I mentioned it. Yogeshwara. What does yoga mean?
It means a type of flexibility.
It means he's the master. He's the master of all mystic powers. That's Yogeshwara. In the Vedic mantras, it's stated, Svarupa, Bhutaya, Nityashaktya, Maya Kaya, which is the Lord's eternal potency named Maya, is innate in his original form. So what was happening was, energies that are Krishna's energies anyway, which were manifest in one place, he withdrew so they were manifest within him. It was effortless for Krishna. Here's two of our acharyas. There, Sanatan Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that when a friend of Kaliya had assumed the form of a fire to avenge his friend, or perhaps the fire was manifest by a demon who was a follower of Kamsa's. So this happened just after the subduing of the Kaliya serpent. This is the fire, circle of fire surrounding Krishna. Krishna swallowing the fire. And the place where this took place is Davanal Kund in Vrindavan. This commemorates the very place where the forest fire, very right near the banks of the river Jamuna, where Krishna swallowed this forest fire. There it is again. Another picture. Very, very old Kund. And then after Krishna finished swallowing the fire, Krishna took rest by the side of this other kund. These are next to each other, or very close to one another. The first forest fire, this forest fire after the Kaliya Leela, where two groups of people have discord with one another, intercommunal discord. And sometimes this is not just between two people that live as neighbors or groups of people, two nations. Sometimes it even happens within the very society that we find ourselves. Sometimes there's discord.
What's that?
Discord?
So what's that picture doing?
It's showing some Vaishnavas who are of the same organization. They may have disagreements with one another. That dissension or discord.
Like the Jews and the Nazis.
Okay, let's go to the number two. After this first forest fire, the next chapter in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the slaying of Pralambasura. Who is Pralambasura? Palumbasura was a big demon. Are we, we're finished here? What's happening? Okay. After Krishna slayed the Palumbasura demon, there was another fire. Maybe it's too much for the kids.
What?
Some are still here. Okay, anyway. One time when the cowherd boys... Wow. When the cowherd boys were playing, here's the calves, and the cowherd boys are underneath a tree playing, and there's a forest all around them. All of a sudden, they noticed that the cows had wandered away because they were so absorbed in playing, they didn't even notice. And Krishna then sent the cowherd boys, you follow where there's munched grass and broken grass and follow the hooves of the calves and the cows, and I'm sure you'll find them. And so they followed the path that the cows had gone, and they went into a very dense part of the forest. And when they got into the dense part of that forest, there were very tall sugar cane trees. And have you seen sugar cane trees when they're growing?
Yes.
That was mixed. Yes and no. So
never.
The cows had gone into a cane forest. Meanwhile, some distance away, a forest fire had begun. The forest fire sometimes happens when there's wind and the bamboo trees or the cane trees in the wind, they strike one another. And when they strike one another, there's a spark. And when the spark falls on the dry leaves on the ground, just by nature's arrangement, sometimes there's a fire. So this day, there was a fire. And when the cowherd boys were looking for the cows, and they felt the heat of the fire, in addition to the heat of the middle of the day, they became very thirsty. And so what did they do? Krishna! They couldn't find the cows, and they're feeling this intense heat from the fire and very, very thirsty. They felt very badly that the cows had been neglected by them, because not only they're in difficulty, but the cows are in difficulty. So they began their search even more intensely, but they couldn't find where the cows were. They continued to look, following where their teeth had chewed the grass, the hooves of the cows. Finally, they found the cows within this cane forest. They found the cows. But now they couldn't find their way back out. And now all around them in a big circle was this big blazing fire. So Krishna could understand, my cows... And the cowherd boys, they're in difficulty. So he called out for each of the cows' names and called out the cowherd boys in a very resounding voice. And the cowherd boys and the cows hearing Krishna's voice, they were very happy and they called out in reply to Krishna. But now this fire started roaring on all sides. Not only the calves and the cowherd boys, but all the forest creatures were in big danger. Like a chariot driver, the wind swept the fire onward and terrible sparks shot in all directions. The great fire extended its tongue of flame towards all moving and non-moving creatures. So now they were really in big trouble. They found the cows, but they were all about to be destroyed by this big fire. So what did they do?
They
closed
their eyes
and... Not yet. Krishna!
Krishna!
The cowherd voice said, oh Krishna, Krishna, most powerful one, oh Rama, whose prowess never fails. Please save your devotees. Sounds like what they said before. We are about to be burned by this forest fire and have come to take shelter of you. Krishna, certain your own friends couldn't be destroyed. O knower of the nature of all things, we have accepted you as our Lord, and we are souls surrendered unto you. Krishna, please protect us. So Krishna again said, close your eyes, and I'll give you a big surprise. The boy said, okay. And by his mystic power, again, second time, it's a repeat performance. Krishna swallowed the terrible fire, saving his friends from all this awful danger. Here they are, same pictures. When the cowherd boys opened their eyes, they were amazed. Not only the fire was gone, but they were right back where they were before that early morning when Krishna killed, or Balaram killed, Palambasura. They were in the Bandiravan, where there was a big Bandira forest and one huge banyan tree. And if you ever go to Vrindavan, you can go see that very tree. I've been there. It's very nice. Very
can you
peaceful.
Get a picture of it?
Yeah.
Can you see it?
I don't have it here.
Oh.
Oh. But I can make an arrangement so all you kids can get a copy of that Bandiravan tree. Very nice. When the cowherd boys saw that they had been saved from the forest fire by the Lord's mystic power, they thought, this is a very extraordinary power. It must be that Krishna is a demigod.
What's a demigod?
That's a very powerful personality controlling the universe. And then they thought, you know, if Krishna is a demigod, this powerful controller of the universe, and we're associating with him, you know what that means? Maybe we're demigods too. So, Krishna had protected the cows. Krishna had protected the cowherd boys and saved them from great danger because Krishna is always the well-wishing friend of all of his dear devotees. So now, it's well into the afternoon. They already had their lunch. Palambasura was killed. They had their lunch. They were still playing. Now it's time to go back to Nandagram. So they're returning here to Nandagram. This is the palace of Nanda Maharaj. And he's greeted, Krishna and the cowherd boys are greeted by all the elders in the village of Nandagram. And the young gopis up here, they're deriving great pleasure just in seeing Govinda come back home. Of course, Krishna is just giving his nice glance to the gopis. That satisfies their hearts, just seeing Krishna glancing upon them. This is where the goshal is, where they take care of the cows. They feed the cows and milk the cows and care for them in a very nice way. Here's what our acharyas describe. When atheists become very strong, this is a poster that was made, no God, no guilt. So they have this idea that you should give up God and be happy. So the second forest fire represents disruption of religious principles and interference with religious principles because of the influence of atheism.
Why is that bad?
Well, here's... Do you know who this is?
No. Ravana. Ravana kidnapping Sita.
That's right.
And that's Jatayu
losing his wings because the sword of Ravana is cutting off the wings of Jatayu.
I said that.
Well, there it says right there, Ravana abducts Sita. Look at that.
I said that. Ravana's an alien.
They're going to shoot him.
So,
Yeah.
Here's your class A atheist. What's the symptom of an atheist? They don't have any belief in God. Who's powerful? I'm powerful.
I thought he believed in Shiva.
But this is Robin.
I thought Robin believed in Shiva.
Robin it doesn't believe in a supreme personality of Godhead, because the supreme personality of Godhead, I see your hand, hang on. The supreme personality of Godhead is Lord Vishnu, sometimes manifesting himself as Rama, sometimes manifesting himself as Krishna, and the supreme personality of Godhead is certainly more powerful than Robin. I think we have a picture where Robin meets his demise.
Yeah,
so this is another view where man comes from chemicals, and chemicals get together and form life, and life evolves and becomes apes, and apes evolve and become man, and all we are is chemicals.
Apes.
You've heard of this one before, right?
Yes. The human evolving theory.
Yeah, the evolving theory. But where does life come from?
God.
That's where life
God
comes from.
Movies.
Life comes from nothing. And then from this nothing comes apes, and from apes comes man.
God makes the monkey.
But it all comes from nothing.
Pregnant.
Matter, it is not the source of life. But life is the source of life. Life is the source of life. Where does life come from? Life comes from life. Not life comes from matter. So there's the supreme life, and that's God. An atheist says, no, life comes from nothing. Or matter. Because matter has no life.
Matter is just stuff.
Matter is just stuff, that's right.
Inside everything.
There we go, like this microphone stand. Okay, let's watch it's this microphone right. stand evolve into a human being.
No.
Or even a little mosquito.
Even move.
Okay.
Move it on.
Okay. So this is our little narration on Krishna's swallowing two forest fires
at the same time.
So now we're going to do a little quiz. See how careful you've been paying attention. You got to raise your hand. You got to raise your hand and not speak out of turn, okay? I know it's going to challenge for you, but I'm sure you can do it. Okay. Here's one I said two times already. What's the meaning? One of Krishna's names is Yogeshwara. What's the meaning?
Master of Yoga.
Master of Yoga. Very good. Another name of Krishna is... Another name of Krishna is Kaliya Damana or Kaliya Krishna. What does that name of Krishna mean? Kaliya Krishna. Go ahead.
Knower of all mystic forces.
No. Try again. Who else? Damana, Kaliya Krishna subdues. The Damana, he subdues or dominates. That's a good way to think of it. He subdues the Kaliya serpent. And when Krishna subdues the Kaliya serpent, he relieves him. How is it that Krishna relieved Kaliya from his bad qualities?
He took away his poison.
And how did he do that? Over there, you got to put your hand up. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
He was dancing on the hotel.
Right. And what did that do for Kaliya?
It gave all the poison out.
Yeah. What's so special about Krishna's feet? Over here. What's special about Krishna's feet?
He has red on the bottom.
He has red on the bottom, yeah. He definitely has red on the bottom. But what's special about Krishna's feet is he is the source of all mercy. And when Krishna places his merciful feet upon one's head, all mercy is bestowed upon that person. That's what the wives of the Kaliya serpent said. By the touch of Krishna's feet upon our husband's head, Kaliya's head, all of his contamination was relieved. Okay. And you don't put your foot on your head. You get Krishna to put his foot on your head.
But I know that, like that, except that's not a part of my body.
So you know who's at Krishna's feet? All of his loving devotees. So if you can take shelter, listen to this. If you can take shelter of Krishna's devotees, you've taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. You can get the mercy of Krishna's devotees, you've got the mercy of Krishna's lotus feet. And when you get the mercy of Krishna's lotus feet, you can become fully purified of all bad things. That's what Kaliya serpent found out. Now, another question. Who is Garuda?
Who?
Oh, everybody knows who is Garuda.
The helper of Krishna and the carrier.
Who is Garuda? Yes. He's the which?
Carrier of Vishnu.
Carrier of Vishnu. Very good. Very good. Garuda, you know where Garuda lives? Where does Garuda live? Vaikuntha. You ever hear of Vaikuntha before?
No!
Okay. Wow, you're a lively group here.
Never after years.
Okay, well, let me tell you, calm down for a moment, I'll tell you about Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, many religions teach about the place where we are, above the place where we are is heaven, and below the place where we are is that bad place, it's called hell in scriptures, and Christian scriptures, or the Patala Loka, and the lower planetary regions. But beyond this universe, beyond the universe, into the vast spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets. And those spiritual planets is where the personality of Godhead lives, and they're called Vaikuntha. It's the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is Vaikuntha. And that's where Garuda lives. And that's also where Lord Vishnu resides, and Garuda sometimes carries Vishnu. You want to add something to all of this?
Is Garuda a guard?
No, no. He's the carrier of Lord Vishnu. No? Yes.
And Garuda is a giant bird.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. What you got? What's up?
Me?
Yeah.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
If you're in Goloka, can you die?
No. In the spiritual world,
you don't die.
Listen carefully. Neither is there, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's no birth, there's no death. That means you don't get old.
No.
And you don't get diseases either.
Wait. I mean, like,
go ahead. You're on. You got
this. Like Krishna kills you up there.
No, but there's no body, there's no material body to be killed because it's a spiritual form. Hands down for just a minute. You're next. Wow. So, we have a body, and inside the body there's a soul. You know that one, right?
Yeah.
And so, when the soul leaves the body, that's death. But in the spiritual world, there's no material body. The material body is like a covering, just like you're wearing a red t-shirt.
Like skin.
And he's wearing a black t-shirt. So tomorrow if you wear a green t-shirt, it's not like you've changed your identity because you changed your t-shirt. That's just a covering of the body, right? So the body is simply a covering of the soul. And the soul is this, the actual self, the source of life within the body. But in Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God, there's no coverings. It's just a spiritual form. So there's no dying, there's no birth, there's no aging. There's no school. I was debating whether I should say that one. Yeah,
number two.
I hit the magic button with that one. Will you burn?
Will you have your birthday if you're in hell at heaven?
You have a birthday, sure. And you have a death day, too. Go ahead. Your turn.
Is Buddha Hawkman?
And is it because where does he live?
Vaikuntha.
Okay. So all the residents of Vaikuntha don't have a material form. So he's a transcendental bird. In person. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Why does Krishna's bird? I forgot.
Why did he do what? Why did he give Garuda a name?
Garuda means Garuda. Why is a Garuda a helper of Krishna?
Why is Garuda a helper of Krishna?
Because
he likes to serve him.
What's so funny about that?
And listen to this one. That's the nature of every living being. Every living being by nature likes to serve Krishna. And each of us, listen to this one, each of us has an eternal spiritual identity of service to Krishna. We just forgot it. We like went to sleep or something. And forgot our relationship with Krishna. So by practice of devotional service, some living being may become a flower, some living in Vaikuntha, some living being may become a bird. Hang on, guys. Some living being may become a cow, some living being may become a friend, some living being may become a mother. There's spiritual forms in the spiritual world, and each of us has a natural spiritual form. You guys put your hands down because there's other people that would like to say something. Who else would like to say something? Some others had your hand up. No? Okay, you're on. Try it again.
Can our souls be girl souls somehow?
Did you hear the question? Can souls become girl souls? Well,
or boy souls.
Or boy souls, yeah, right. Yeah. The souls, everything in the spiritual world exists for the happiness of Krishna. And Krishna, he really knows how to enjoy. So he has friends that are boys, he has friends that are girls, he has parents, he has older people, he has cows, he has birds, he has trees, he has all types of living entities that there are different types of relationships with Krishna. So the answer to your question is yes. All varieties exist in the spiritual world. In fact, whatever you find here exists in its perfect form in the spiritual world. You won't find anything, say it the other way around, you won't find anything here that's not in the spiritual world. Just like a mirror, and the object that's reflected in the mirror, the object that's reflected in the mirror doesn't exist separately from the object that's its reflection of. So here's an apple, here's a mirror, and there's the reflection of a mirror, reflection of the apple in the mirror. You're not going to get a reflection of an apple unless you have an apple. So in this material world, everything is a reflection of the spiritual world. So everything that you find here, you find in the spiritual world without any imperfection. You got a hand up over there.
So how come there's no school over there? I mean, there's a school over here.
Because it's different. Because the transcendental nature, all souls in the spiritual world are already enlightened, but they're always learning. Just like Krishna. Krishna went to school with Sandipani Muni, but he learned everything in 64 days.
Wow.
And school was over. So, because he was already omniscient, he didn't need to go to school. It was just pastime. Everything in the spiritual world is pastime. Yeah. Oh, homeschooling, huh?
Home tutors.
Yeah. Well, it's a fact that in the spiritual world, all living beings are fully enlightened. Fully enlightened. Even the children are fully enlightened. So why don't we find children here fully enlightened? Because they're... In the consciousness, why don't we find all adults are fully enlightened for that matter? Because consciousness is covered by forgetfulness of Krishna. So that's why we're having these nice stories about Krishna, so we can remember Krishna and get free from that big cloud of covering. Do you want to add something here? No. Anyone else that hasn't spoken yet? Okay. What do we do now, Lord Gopal? Do we have kirtan for a while? Okay. Thank you all very much for coming. I'm glad we were able to tell some nice stories about Krishna. And thank you guys for all of your nice participation. Give yourself a nice round of applause. Thank you. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your name?